Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I'm Todd Wilson, Director of Exponential. We're thrilled you're taking advantage of this free resource that was recorded at the Exponential Conference. It's part of a library of hundreds of hours of free training. In our mission to equip church planning leaders, we seek to distribute as many free resources as possible. Visit exponential.org to learn more and to check out the programming for the upcoming Exponential Conference.
You guys good? Who's had coffee? Raise your hand. Who's had coffee? Oh, that's brilliant. You guys have coffee. You guys brought coffee. Great. I'm so happy to see you this morning. I'm Ryan. I'm a pastor. I'm one of the pastors at Resonate Church in Fremont. We planted 6 years ago up in the Bay Area. It's been a crazy ride. We are still figuring out things. And I've taught this track before several times over when we first planted the church. And every year, it's just developed in different ways, not a major overhaul, but it's just kind of like adding parts, taking out parts. And what we're doing today is we're just presenting to you some of the things that we have figured out for our context. It may not work in your context, but we're trying to give you some foundation as to how to build a culture of discipleship in your church. We like to say this, that we just do one thing at our church. We only have one program, is to make disciples who make disciples. We don't even say that we're a church planning church, because we believe if we're making the kind of disciples that we should be, then we are actually planting churches. The planting churches is the fruit of making disciples. And so I think we see that in scripture. And we want to actually be that kind of church in this generation. Now, I want to start by sharing with you my first experience when I came to Exponential. As a new church planter, or somebody who was maybe interested in church planting, not fully knowing what I was getting myself into, I went to a pre-launch track of many men and women who are really interested in planting a church or just started planting a church, maybe in their first year. And the question that I heard over and over and over again asked me is, what kind of church do you want to plant? That was the question. That was the primary question. What kind of church do you want to plant? And the rhetoric or the idea that kept on coming out when I asked the other, by the way, if you don't know the answer, a great way to address it is just ask the question back to them, you know? And it makes you really smart. Like when you're a parent and your kid asks you a Bible question you can't answer, you're like, what do you think? And so I did the same thing. I'm like, what kind of church do you want to plant? And people say, well, I want to plant a church that my friend will come to. That's a very common thing that you'll hear. And it sounds all too convicting, except I'm not sure if it's very biblical. Okay, so I just want to present to you a paradigm shift in my heart and my mind that has shaped the culture of discipleship at our church. And we're not talking about just how to make disciples. We're trying to form culture. And culture has to come from core convictions. And so the core conviction for us comes from Scripture. And the idea is this, that we don't start from the main question of ecclesiology to start a discipleship track. We don't ask the question, what kind of church do you want to become? Because that is an expression of what your church looks like. And then you say, well, you know what, I might want a missional church, because mission is good and we need to reach people. So you add mission as a program, and you're like a Trivia Pursuit piece. If you play that game, you know, little six pieces, you're one pie of that whole piece is mission. So you see missions as a program, not something or who you are, but rather something that you do, a part of what your church does. And then from that, you're like, well, you know, we need to preach Jesus. After all, we're a church. So Jesus almost becomes a program as well. So you see ecclesiology up top, which forms the mission, which forms Christology. And my suggestion and my conviction is that you would inverse that and think first, who is Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Because I feel like if we don't start there, we lose it all. And you can't start through Scripture. You can't start mission without Christ, because he was the sent one. And he, with the Holy Spirit, sends us with his word. And so, because Christ is the ultimate expression of that mission, okay? So, mission actually unfolds. It is who is of Christ. And then from mission, we ask the ecclesiological question then. So, Christ, mission, church, not the other way around. And so, if you're here wanting, what should our church look like? I want to encourage you. We're going to speak more on the who is Jesus and how does that form our mission, and how does that form what we do through our church. And so we're tag teaming, and I'm co-teaching with our spiritual formation pastor, who actually does this teaching at our church. So if you would you please welcome Pastor Jackson Perdue.
I know some of you are feeling ripped off right now, but just stick with it, okay? It'll be all right. Christ can work through anybody. I am really glad that you are here with us as we're talking about the city of discipleship. How do we create this culture of discipleship? And I speak to you not as a guru, but as a fellow practitioner with you, someone who's trying to learn. How do we actually make disciples? As Ryan said, that's why the church exists. That's what it's for. How can we do this? And I have attended, like many of you, tons of workshops, conferences, seminars, read books, listened to podcasts, read blog posts, all kinds of information on discipleship. Here's how you make disciples. Here's the strategy. Here's why. And, you know, I've cared about this for a long time. I left a church and wanted to plant another because I was disgruntled about the way that other church wasn't doing discipleship right. And now I know much less than I did when I was an angry youth pastor at the church I was a part of. So I want to share what we are learning at Resonate, what we have learned, as we're trying to create this culture of discipleship that Ryan talked about. And we don't do this perfectly. We are constantly in this learning process, but there are four key elements of a discipleship culture that I want to talk to you about today. We'll look at these questions. We'll look at how we at Resonate are trying to answer them. And I'll share with you some of the mistakes that we've made along the way, so hopefully you can learn from them. So if you want to be a disciple-making church, there's going to be a lot of struggles and tensions along the way. I guess any kind of church is going to be. And at Resonate, we explicitly say that we want to be a church of disciples who make disciples. And we believe the church exists, as Ryan said, because of the mission of God. The mission of God has a church. The church does not have a mission. The church only exists to fulfill the mission that Christ has given us. And God wants to seek out and save the lost. He wants to bring redemption to the world. And the church is a way, his plan, to do that. And so discipleship is the reason the church exists, to point people to Christ. And just about everybody would say that's why their church exists. As some of you are preparing to plant churches, you would say, yeah, that's why we exist, to make disciples, to fulfill the Great Commission. But even if we have our Christology and missiology and ecclesiology in order, in the right order, it's so easy to get lost in the hard work of planting a church and running a church. It's so easy to lose sight of whether or not you're actually making disciples because you're so worried about making sure there's people to love the kids and getting everything pulled off on a Sunday morning. And discipleship becomes something we know is important, but we don't know how to measure. And so we just kind of keep plugging along, and it sort of gets lost, even though we start with grand visions of making disciples and say that's why we have a church. And there's a ton of different strategies, a ton of different terminologies out there. And this is probably, for many of you, the last of several you've gone to, even the last few days. And so the question presents itself, like, how do you take all of that information that you've gathered, so much of it so great, and how do you, like, do anything about it? How can you try to develop an actual discipleship strategy? How can you make disciples at your church? And what we're talking about today is not one specific strategy to make disciples. It's this broader question of how do you create a culture at your church where you will make disciples, a discipleship culture. And you may have heard this quote. It's a good one. Some leaders say that culture eats vision for breakfast. That is to say, you can have a great vision, but the culture of your church, the way people think and act and do and what they believe, the unspoken stuff of just how life goes, that trumps whatever your vision statement is. And so we want to create a culture in our churches where disciples are made. That's what we want to shoot for. And so we're looking at four elements and questions that go along with it. So we're saying these are the questions that we must answer if we want to create cultures of discipleship in our church. And your answers are going to vary They're going to be different than ours based on your theology, your philosophy of ministry, your context. Your answers will vary, but you've got to ask these questions and you've got to answer them thoughtfully and intentionally is better than accidentally, because you'll answer them either way. And so the first element of a culture of discipleship, the first thing, if you want a culture of discipleship in your church, that you must consider is this. You must define a disciple. So you must ask the question, who is a disciple? You might have a nice like phrase or term, or you might have terminology that you use to describe a disciple, someone who loves God and love others or whatever. You might have that phrase in place. At Resonate, we don't have a phrase that we say, a disciple is X, and just repeat that and repeat that. We don't have that, not strategically, it's just we don't have it. But what we do talk about a lot is next steps. We say, if you're a follower of Christ, like ask, what is, even if you're not a follower of Christ, what's my next step in my relationship with God? So we use that terminology a lot. And so most people around Resonate would probably say, a disciple is someone who's taking next steps to follow Christ or something like that. But then if you ask, what does that mean? What does that look like? People don't generally know what it means or what it looks like. So people can memorize our statements about discipleship, but actually, what does it look like? How do I grow as a disciple? Who is a disciple? That's where it gets harder. So we've got to unpack over and over in many different ways. Here's what a disciple is. Here's how you define disciple. So you got to ask that question, who is a disciple? And I'm sure many of you could come up with great phrases for it, great statements that just really capture the essence of discipleship. And whether or not you do that well, however much you've studied discipleship, you cannot escape the fact that your definition of a disciple is going to be shaped by you, by your background, by your experiences, by the things that you didn't like in your past, by the things that you hope for in your future. All of us, we get a picture of discipleship that's formed from all these different areas. And so we have to force ourselves, if we're in the ridiculous position of standing in front of a group of people and saying, here's how you follow God. Like, that's a crazy thing to say. If we're in that position, then we have to be looking back to Christ and make sure that our definition of disciple is shaped by him first and foremost. And so what I want to do is look at the Great Commission, familiar passage to hopefully all of you, to look at Jesus' definition of a disciple. He describes disciples in a bunch of different ways, but here is the commission many of us would say, this is why we have churches, to fulfill the Great Commission. So in the Great Commission, Jesus came and he said this to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so in the Great Commission, there's a few things you can see about the definition of a disciple. So as you consider how you define disciple at your church or even just with yourself, you should consider in here, it should have these elements. And one is a call to mission. Jesus' call to discipleship is a call to mission. A disciple is on mission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus gives the command to go. And he says, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. And within the Great Commission, there is a command. What's the command in the Great Commission? Go and make disciples, right? That's the command within the Great Commission. So he's saying, including go and make disciples. The call on every Christian is a call to mission. The call of a disciple is to go and to make disciples. We cannot escape it. So to be a disciple of Jesus is to be on God's mission. And this includes what we usually call evangelism. Right? Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says that to his disciples. So there's this constant call for us to go out and to bring other people into the kingdom. And some of you have heard this before, some of you may not, but discipleship and evangelism, they're not really separate things. We look at them as separate things, but Jesus' strategy for evangelism was discipleship. It was to grow people as his followers and send them out to tell other people who he is. And so at Resonate, we like to say that we are not an and church, but a to church. That is to say, we do not have discipleship and mission. We don't have discipleship and evangelism. We don't say we disciple people and we try to reach the world. But instead we want to, the way we read the Great Commissioners, we want to be a church that disciples people to mission. We disciple people to reach the world. The strategy for church planting, the strategy for evangelism, to bring people into the kingdom, is to grow disciples of Christ. Because a disciple is one who goes and makes disciples. And so how you specifically play out that is for you to consider. But Jesus here pretty clearly defines discipleship as a call to his mission of bringing the gospel to the world. He also, in here, defines discipleship as a call to obey. He clearly says, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Yes, we are saved. And gosh, if we don't start here, then we shouldn't start at all. We are saved by the grace of God completely and only. It is only the work of Christ that makes us clean before the Father. We're entirely dependent upon him. We cannot add anything to the work of Christ. Through our obedience, we don't make him love us more. He loves us completely, even though we are so disobedient. We must start there when we consider obedience and discipleship. But obedience comes out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. And discipleship is a call to obey what he has commanded. And in our emphasis on grace, we sometimes lose that. But discipleship, it's not just liking Jesus. Discipleship is not just someone attending your church and being part of a small group so they don't leave. Discipleship is obeying Christ. It's a life of obedience to him. It's not just learning more about the Bible to get proper doctrine. All these things matter, but discipleship, the gospel drives us to obedience. And however we define who a disciple is, we must define a disciple as one who obeys Christ. And then we also see in the Great Commission that the call to discipleship is a call for everyone. Some of us think of discipleship. In this room, you probably don't say you think this, but you might be like me and actually kind of think it deep down and it comes out. But discipleship is not just a call for the elite few Christians. Discipleship is a call for everyone. Now, you're probably here because you agree with that. But some of us, as we get more involved in church and we serve more and we feel called to ministry or whatever, we start to think that we're a little better than the other people in our church. We start to think, they can't really be like I am. They're not really as devoted to Christ, so I'm just going to call them to just come to the church. And the people who are really bought in, that they could be disciples. And so if we think that discipleship is about our own competencies, I'm a good disciple of Christ because I can speak in front of people, I'm a good disciple of Christ because I really love people, I can lead people. If we think that, then it's going to shape the way we try to disciple our people, and we're going to communicate, and we're going to develop strategies that counteract this idea that discipleship is actually for everyone. So we have to understand everybody is called to be a disciple, and we see this in the beginning and the end of the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and at the end he says, surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. So what he's saying there is we are disciples of Christ, called on his mission to obey him, not by our own competencies or abilities, but by the authority of Jesus, by his power in us. He is the reason we can be disciples. He is the one who empowers us to be his disciples. And we must believe that Jesus can use the people in our churches as much and more than he uses us, or we won't make disciples the way Christ has called us to. And so we must understand it's a call to everybody. And so when we're defining disciple, we want to include everybody in that definition. It's not about our ability. It's about the power of Christ and his authority. Discipleship is not salesmanship. It's not charisma. It's the journey of every follower of Christ to be a disciple who makes disciples. We'll do that differently because we're different people with different gifts. But every Christian is called to be a disciple who makes disciples because we're empowered by Christ, not ourselves and our own abilities. And so if you want to honor Christ, then you must see everybody as someone who could be used by God, not just people like you, not just people who you like, not just people who get it, but everybody in your church. And I say this because I don't think that way very well at all. It was maybe a year and a half ago where I moved into the role where spiritual formation was my responsibility at Resonate. and I looked at our leaders, and I said, man, most of these people don't get it. And my initial plan to change our discipleship process included essentially, I called it inviting them out, but essentially included kicking out like 50 or, okay, I'm going to be more honest, like 75% of our leaders. It's like, you know what, they don't get it, they shouldn't be leading. And thankfully, I'm not the pastor of Resonate Church, so Ryan's like, hey, Jackson, why don't you tell me where the gospel is in that, right? And so that kind of helped correct me a little bit. I was thinking like, hey, it's not, well, these people just aren't ready yet. But the truth is God can use, like, I'm not telling you be this way. It's like, gosh, all this stuff, I need to grow in so much. And if we lose sight of the gospel, we lose sight of what discipleship is about. And so if you want a culture of discipleship in your church, your definition of who a disciple is, it's got to include a call to mission, obedience, and it's got to be a call for everybody, because that's what Christ's call for discipleship is. Defining a disciple is one element. The next element is you have to have a plan to develop disciples. We have to answer this question. How are disciples formed? What's the way you're going to form disciples at your church? What is your strategy? It must be strategic. It must be thought out. Is it going to be classes? Is it small groups? Is it sermons? Is it sending people to conferences? Is it one-on-one relationships? Is it a certain curriculum that you use? Can people choose in your groups to use whatever curriculum they want? What is the process through which people become disciples or will become disciples at your church? If someone comes up to you and says, I want to be a disciple, which, gosh, that's, we all want people to come up to us and say that. If they come up to you and say that, what is your answer to them? If, again, if you're like me, you read books, you go to conferences, you try to learn, and you take in all this information about disciple-making strategies, there's tons of different ways to get it done. There's so many different things out there. So what's the right one? What's the one you can use to make disciples? The thing is, it depends. It depends on so much. You can't just take, I heard this a million times, but I didn't really believe it. You can't just take what another church does and just bolt it onto your church and make disciples that way. It doesn't work that way. But you yourself, for your church, you must develop a thought through plan, a strategic answer to the question, how do we make disciples? And if you don't, you're going to have a really hard time making disciples the way that you want to. And you certainly won't have a culture of discipleship at your church. If you're not talking about your strategy to make disciples, the culture of your church won't be one of discipleship. It will be, oh, you could do this thing if you want sometimes. So for your answer to this question, how do we make disciples? How are disciples formed? A couple of things for you to keep in mind, just that we've learned at Resonate through making mistakes, is ask yourself about your plan. Is it simple? Is my plan to make disciples, is our strategy a simple one? The more complex your answer is to how our disciples form, the less people are going to engage with it. The harder it will be to communicate it. You've got to be able to say it in a short way so people understand, just like, what's the next step for them to take? Because you, if you're here, it's likely that you eat and breathe and sleep and dream about your church and its strategies and what you hope it would be. But the people who come to your church, however bought in they are, they don't care as much as you do. They might not even care half as much as you do about your church. Hopefully they care about Christ more. But your elegant wording, your great strategies, if they're complicated, people aren't going to remember them. People aren't going to be able to engage with them. It's going to be this mysterious thing that they're just not going to get involved in. People don't care too much about the perfect wording that you work so hard to put together. They're not going to remember it half the time. People have a limited amount of time and energy. They have lives. We all have lives, right? But people have lives. They have families. They have work. They have their community. They have so much to keep track of. Don't make them memorize stuff. Try to figure out how to become a disciple at your church. It needs to be a very simple strategy that you can explain quickly so people can understand, here's the clear next step for me to take if I want to grow as a disciple of Christ. And of course, it must be a high calling too. Simple doesn't mean low bar. Simple doesn't mean, oh, just come to church services. We want it to be a high calling to point people to Christ. We don't change what a disciple is, but we want our strategy to be clear and simple so people can get it quickly. And at Resonate right now, we're in the middle of trying to adjust. We'll always be in the middle, I hope, of trying to adjust our strategy to make disciples. But I want to share with you kind of our attempt to answer this question. We really at Resonate have one program. When I say program, I mean like ongoing thing that we ask people to do. We really have one program outside of our Sunday services, and they're missional communities. Now, that's a phrase that means a lot of different things depending on who you talk to, but a Resonate missional community is a group of people who are trying to follow Christ together. It is our primary discipleship strategy. How are disciples developed at Resonate? Join a missional community and you'll grow in your relationship with Christ. You will grow as a disciple. They are not meant to be small groups of the people to stay a part of the church, build community. And honestly, missional community is the name, but we are way better a community than mission or discipleship in our groups because that's the bent of people. So at Resonate, we say there's one program. Is it clear? Is it simple? Someone comes up and says, I want to grow as a disciple. We say, join a missional community and engage in this. Because people don't have a ton of extra time to invest. In our context, we've determined like 1.5 nights a week is maybe what we can ask of people outside of their normal lives. I don't know what 0.5 nights looks like. But so basically that means one, maybe two. And so we say you want to have your strategy actually fit for people too. It's not dumbing it down. It's not watering it down if you meet people where they are. So we say join a missional community. And through that, you will grow as a disciple. And so we pour as much time and energy into the leaders of missional communities as we can. We try to have each leader have an apprentice who's a leader in training. And we pour a lot into them. We want to be a church of disciples who make disciples. And so we work to drive everyone into these missional communities. We don't have men's ministry, women's ministry, seniors ministry. You know, we don't have stuff. Basically, besides missional communities, as a thing where we say everyone should be a part of this. Now, we have other things that occur. We have great groups of people who go out to build relationships with homeless people on the street to bring them meals and relationship. And there is stuff going on throughout the church, but it's not. We don't want people to choose between discipleship and serving people. We want everyone to be focused on discipleship, and some will also serve people in that way. And so this requires, from the highest level of leadership at your church, a commitment to simplicity. A commitment to say, we're not going to do a bunch of things. If you want a culture of discipleship, from our experience, we found we can only do it if we focus on one thing, and that is discipleship. And all the other ministries, all the other ways we try to connect people, we try to funnel them into our discipleship strategy of missional communities. Because we don't just want a bunch of full programs. We want to make disciples. And something to consider also is everything that you do actually disciples people. Everything you do and the way you do it tells people something about what it means to follow Jesus. It tells them something about what it means to get an A on the Christian report card, what you ask them to do. What does it look like to get an A at your church? That's something for you to consider. But every program, every event, every conversation, people get a picture of what it means to follow Christ through them. And so part of our answer to the question, how are disciples formed, is they're formed through missional communities and we drive everyone to them. And then to help make that happen, we also developed this visual picture. There's no other kind of picture, is there? We developed this image to try to help us see, like, here's what a disciple looks like. And so this picture, we call it the ecosystem. Even though there's nothing biological about the picture at all, we call it the ecosystem because in an ecosystem, all the parts are dependent upon one another. And so through this, we try to say, here's what a disciple is. And so it's part of our definition of a disciple, and it's part of our strategy because we feel like if people get this, then they can start to also grow as a disciple. Basically, at the center, we have the gospel. We say that the gospel is the foundation. Gosh, it's the foundation of everything. It's the answer to every question that God saves sinners. We're lost. We need him. And in response to the gospel, a disciple is a worshiper. We worship God for what he's done. A disciple is a family member. We are brought into family, as Ryan so wonderfully communicated a couple days ago, right? We are family members if we are followers of Christ. We are learners. We want to learn more about Christ and who he is and how we can serve him. We become servants. missionaries, and reproducers. So we say this is sort of our definition of disciple, because that's too long for everyone at Resonate to repeat all the time, so we don't have a phrase. But we say a disciple is gospel-motivated worshiper, family member, learner, servant, missionary, and reproducer. Can someone be a disciple of Christ and not be a worshiper? Probably not. Can someone be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, and not be a servant of others? And so we tried to boil it down and say these are essential elements. And so this is part of our strategy of forming disciples, in the sense of it's not a mountain you need to climb. Like, you know, churches, we try to come up with visual representations of how to grow to help people understand. But it's not just a sequential progression, because we're all constantly growing all the time. We need to grow in all these areas. We're never finished. And so we tried to capture that through it being a circle. And it's also systematic in the sense of you can ask, what is my next step as a worshiper? What does obedience look for me as a servant? How can I be a servant in this context? So we want people to think and speak in these ways to grow as a disciple. We've tried to give them words to use instead of saying, I just need to grow. Like, how can I grow as a missionary? What does obedience look like for me as a worshiper? What am I worshiping other than Christ? So we tried to give people a tool to use to grow. How is a disciple formed? By looking at Christ and growing in their identity in Christ. And so that's what we try to do with the ecosystem. In some ways, this works well. In other ways, it doesn't. I'll tell you, the pastors, we worked hard to come up with this. And we worked hard to word it just right. We've been talking about it for 2 years. And I don't think half of our missional community leaders could by memory tell you what it is. Right? Now, you could take that as a reflection on how bad we are. And I'm sure some of it is that. But it's also the case that you just have to keep communicating things to people over and over again. You have to keep pointing people back to it. But we are struggling with that. Like, how do we communicate what a disciple of Christ is in a way that people understand and be able to internalize? It's a challenge. It's hard to do. So a diagram like this might look nice, but and it is helpful in many ways. But we're also like constantly thinking, how can we improve it? And another thing about this picture that we're trying to change is, like, gospel's in the middle, but a lot of people just sort of overlook that. Like, oh yeah, the gospel's the foundation, whatever. Like, and it becomes a to-do list of things. A disciple is no longer someone whose heart is changed by the work of the Spirit and by Christ's power, and they're just mesmerized by Christ, therefore they become different. But no, a disciple is a worshiper. So they pray, and they read their Bible, and they attend church services. Oh, they're a servant. That means I need to do a thing that's a servant thing. So a picture like this, which is meant to drive people to the gospel and say it changes us, can actually communicate the opposite of what we want to communicate through discipleship. And it does that sometimes. People just think, oh gosh, here's a list of six categories of things I need to do. So it's not so simple as coming up with a great diagram. We're trying to change the picture a little bit. I don't know how big of a difference it will make to show the connection. But we have a target we're shooting for. That even kind of looks like a target. We have something that we're aiming for, that we're trying to point people to. And so you yourself in your context must consider, how are we going to communicate about discipleship to people? What's our strategy for it? Programmatically, for us it's missional communities. Everyone goes there. And then also vocabularily. I used to teach English, and I can't come up with a better word than that. Also with your terminology, right? The words you use are also a part of your strategy to make disciples. So how do you pick them? So we define disciples. We've got a plan to develop them. And then also, as you go, you must diagnose. This is the third element of a discipleship culture. Diagnose. Answer this question. How are disciples measured? If you want to improve something, you got to measure it. So how do you define success? How do you tell if someone is being a disciple? How do you tell if they're growing as a disciple? And I think most of us would acknowledge this is important to measure, but we just don't know how to measure it. How in the world can you measure whether someone's becoming more of a worshiper of Christ or not? How can you measure heart change? Because it's hard to measure, we say, wow, it's hard to measure, and then we go do something else. Like, at least that's what we do. It's really challenging. You can't measure a story. We say, gosh, sometimes you hear those stories and you know Christ is working in someone's heart. And you're like, this is why we do what we do. This is what it means to grow as a disciple. So you have to consider, how can we measure what's happening? And so a couple of ways that you can try to do that is there's a macro level, a big picture level that you can try to measure discipleship. And some of this is, even if it's hard, you'll hear as we go, it's hard to measure, but it's also like you've got to keep it in mind and try to shoot for it still. In 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, we've heard this earlier this week as well, this passage. This gives us a good macro measure of disciples. We don't just want to make disciples, but we consider, like, we have made a disciple if we can look at third generation disciples. A disciple who makes disciples, like me just discipling somebody, that's great, but unless they are also making disciples, have I truly discipled them? I don't know. But here's what 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So this is Paul's commission to Timothy. Paul discipled Timothy. He says, Timothy, entrust it to faithful men who will then entrust it to others as well. So that's three generations past Paul of discipleship. And unless we're thinking that way, I'm not sure we're thinking about discipleship the way the Bible defines it. To be a disciple is to be a disciple maker. And so what if you were to measure discipleship success that way? Not just a person learning more about Christ or a person's life changing, but that person being able to disciple another who disciples another. That's something that gets us excited. That's something that we celebrate. We don't have very many of those stories, but that's what we want to shoot for. That's the stories we want to tell. That's the strategy we want to aim at, is not simply the people in front of us, but also we want those people to be able to bring Christ to the people that they come into contact with, because that's our charge as leaders of the church. That's what Christ put us here for. Another macro measure of discipleship you might consider using is disciples remaining as disciples. Over time, people come and go. You've been part of church. You know this. Your church plant will not be the exception. Your church plant won't be the one that everyone comes and stays engaged in discipleship. Some people come, they'll engage. They might lead. They'll drop out. They might flame out. They might just disappear. But our goal is not just to have people sign up to join our missional communities, to be a part of them, but for people to stay for a long time and grow as a disciple. So are disciples staying as disciples? That's something for you to consider. If you're just counting, hey, this year we had more signups than we had last year for people joining our communities, that's great. But how many of those people are new? What happened to the people who signed up last time? We want to keep track of who's leaving and why. Are people remaining as disciples of Christ? And when they leave, why do they leave? How can we follow up with them well? And care for their hearts. So this is something to consider too. Like the people who you engage as leaders in your church, they're disciples too. They're not finished products. They're people who are learning and growing and have hard lives. And if you're like me, you can get so focused on the system working and accomplishing the goal that you forget to care for the hearts of the people that are there. And when they want to step out of leadership, when they don't want to remain a disciple in that way, you get frustrated with them instead of thinking, oh my gosh, how can I care for them? What's going on in their life? And so when we take our eyes off Christ, we start to get that way. And so consider disciples remaining as disciples. And part of that is, do we have pastoral or shepherding hearts toward the people that we're trying to disciple and toward our leaders as well? So we want to pursue that. I want to keep going here. Another macro measure you can use, just something to consider as you're thinking, how can we diagnose, how can we measure disciples, is considering disciples growing in community. That is, we are not the best, we meaning human beings, are not the best at self-assessment. When we look at ourselves, we tend to judge ourselves on our intentions rather than on our actions, and we judge other people based on their actions, and we often assume the worst intentions. I know many times in my marriage, I get, and I get in trouble with my wife for not taking action, and I think she should at least appreciate that I intended to do the thing that she's mad at me for not doing. So I think I'm much better husband than I am. And there are other times where I think I'm a way worse husband than I am. I fluctuate. It's almost always on the I think I'm better than I am. But when it comes to people, because of our insecurities and our sin, we can beat ourselves up or we can build ourselves up in these big ways. And so we need to be in community to have other people to speak into us. It's not enough for me to just say, you know, I really have grown as a loving person this year. Like if nobody else can say that, then I don't think I've really grown as a loving person. So we want disciples to be in community to where there's other people who can speak in. And how encouraging is it to have someone else come up to you to say how they see the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Right, so does your discipleship strategy, does your method, does your church have a place where people are in community and they're able to grow in community where people are speaking that into them and encouraging them and challenging them when they need to be challenged? If we also need to understand this, and I've heard it 100 times, but I think maybe now I'm starting to get it, but I felt I've started to get things a lot and realized I didn't. But discipleship takes time. Like if you look at these macro measures, right? If you look at the idea of disciples growing in community, disciples remaining as disciples, then you consider these and third generation disciples. How long is it going to take to get a third generation disciple? A super long time. Probably longer than you'll know most of the people who are a part of your church. At least our community is we're in the San Francisco Bay Area. A lot of people move, live there for a few years and go away. And so sometimes people will come and be a part of your ministry and grow as disciples and they'll leave and you won't know what happened. But the idea is this, discipleship takes time. And so sometimes we'll be able to see those third generation disciples and celebrate it, other times we won't. Disciples remaining as disciples, that itself is a measure of time. So just understand, discipleship takes time. Be patient with your people. Be patient with yourself. Understand it's gonna take a longer time than you want. Don't get frustrated with someone if they've been a leader or a part of your church for a year and they just don't get it. Don't get frustrated with them for that. Love them, shepherd them, disciple them. Understand, discipleship takes time. We want things to jump off the ground right away and take off, and it doesn't work that way. And think about yourself. Hopefully, when you think about yourself, you realize it's taken you a long time to understand things. It takes you a long time to get things. It takes you a long time to grow. And why don't you get the things you don't get? There's things you don't get either. So try to be more gracious with the people you disciple than you are with yourself. So that's a little bit about the big measure. On the micro level, we have to do measuring too. That is, if we're going to have a culture of discipleship, we need to give people the ability to consider, how am I growing as a disciple? And to be able to help one another grow, to diagnose, to measure. How do I know if a person's growing as a worshiper? How do I know if a person's growing as a servant? How do I know if someone's growing in these ways? How do I know if they're releasing their idols, if they're learning about Christ? If your goal is participation in ministry events, then it's an easier measure. If your goal is, I want people to join this and do that, then you can just count how many people did it. But if you look at discipleship as Christ changing the heart of people and people becoming more like him, people worshiping him more, then it's not quite so easy. Because somebody can do the right things for completely non-gospel related reasons. Many of us are total experts in that. You can be a great servant in the eyes of other people, but you're doing it so that they will like you more. That's not Christ-like. And that's actually feeding your idol of approval in the eyes of others and making Christ look smaller because people look so big. So we can't simply measure, like, what are the actions people taking? But what can we do to consider at the micro level, on the individual level, how can we look and say, I see that person is growing. I can measure that growth. And so you need to think about that. You need to figure out, how can I define that? How can I help people measure their growth as disciples? And not just like, how can you look at someone and tell, but how can you help the people in your church? If you want a culture of discipleship, how can you help the people in your church look at one another and see the growth in one another and have the permission to talk to one another about that? because it can easily slip into legalism. Measuring discipleship can slip into this legalistic mentality of like, oh, I see I haven't seen you at on Sunday for a couple months. Are you okay? Right? It could be, are you okay? Or it could be like, what's your problem? And so do we have this heart rooted in caring for one another? And do our people feel weird about asking each other? Like, oh my gosh, this is so, like, I almost don't want to like tell you this. But like, many of the people in our church who are leaders, who are disciplers of this church of disciples who make disciples, they're too afraid to ask the people in their group if they read the Bible every day. How basic is that? Like, it's such a basic measure. And okay, you don't have to read it every day, do you? I don't know, whatever. But like, they're too afraid to ask the people, like, do you read your Bible? Do you pray? These are basic questions, but they're actually diagnostic questions. Do you pray? How prayerful are you? Are you reading scripture? And so wherever we are, we can grow in that. And we can't say, well, it's too hard to measure everything and therefore measure nothing. We must consider what are the small ways we can try to measure people for the sake of them growing. Not for the sake of medals or anything, but for the sake of them growing. And so that's one way the ecosystem serves us. So you can say, what does obedience look like as a worshiper? What does obedience look like as a missionary? That sort of thing. And we have this terminology, what's your next step? So how many next steps are people taking? We're still trying to figure out what the great way to measure it is, but we have stuff in place where we're trying to figure that out, and we're saying, let's try to measure next steps. Let's try to see how many people do this. It's a challenge, but we work on it. And some struggles with this, as I've already mentioned, the ecosystem that we use, the terms you'll use for discipleship, it looks nice, but it's hard for people to remember. Maybe there's a lower number than 6 that people can remember, and you can use that, but just you remember, it will be hard for other people to remember the more complicated your terminology is. And anytime I want to depress myself, I ask our MC leaders, draw the ecosystem for me. And it's not good. As I said, again, another struggle, and this comes in the diagnostic way, is people can turn the definition of a disciple into a list of behaviors they need to have. I need to behave this way. I need to take this action. I need to take that action. And that's a real danger that we will always go to, because our behavior is easier to manage than our hearts. We can't manage our hearts. We need Christ to change our hearts. And we will default to, well, I did this and I did that, so I met it. And so as you try to make disciples, you will probably feel this pull, and the people in your church will feel this pull. The leaders in your church will feel this pull to define discipleship as a set of actions that people need to take. And that's a challenge, because being a follower of Christ is obedience to Christ, but it's motivated by the gospel, and it should be the fruit of a changed heart. So these are challenging questions for us to answer, and some of them are so counter to our culture. A culture of like, don't get into my business, don't talk to me about stuff, and you're going to ask me about like why my attitude is that way, or even like, this is something that Ryan has observed that's pretty crazy. We found that people are way more willing to confess an addiction to pornography than they're willing to talk about how they spend their money. It's like, don't talk about my money. I looked at porn last night. Isn't that enough for you? Like, people won't do that. And what that does is that helps reveal like the real idols of their heart, right? So like, you cannot have a conversation, even the superficial pornography conversation, you can't have that without community, right? Without people being with and understanding that they love one another. And we work so hard at Resonate to point people to the gospel every time, to Christ, to realize like, you do not have to be looked at as something you're not in the eyes of these other people, because Christ knows the horrible truth about you and he loves you anyway. So you don't have to hide. I don't see how you can create a culture of discipleship without that foundation of Christ and the gospel. So let's see. The last question I want to get to, is this. We want to define who is a disciple. We want to have a strategy to develop them. We want to consider, how can I measure disciples? And then lastly, we ask this question. It's this last element is demonstrating. And you have to ask the question, am I a disciple? Are you a disciple worthy of imitation? And these questions, they're not just for the pastor. Like, they're for everyone, for a culture to be developed. People must be asking themselves this question. Am I a disciple worthy of imitation? If everyone at your church followed Jesus the way you do, would the mission be accomplished? Would the kingdom of God be expanded? Would Christ be glorified in the world? If you're like me, you tend to brush over this question. Am I a disciple? Worthy of imitation? Am I a disciple? Of course I'm a disciple. I'm at a church planting conference. Of course I'm a disciple. I care. I read my Bible sometimes. I'm committed to serving at my church. Of course I'm a disciple. But is it really true? Is it the affection of your heart for Jesus? See, our messed up definition of disciple gets in the way of us answering this question. And so we must consider for ourselves, where's your devotion? Where is your love? Is it to Jesus Christ? Is it to your idol of performance, of accomplishing something, of changing the world, of getting worth in the eyes of other people? Is your devotion to seeing the world changed over Jesus Christ himself? So you've got to ask yourself these questions. And a culture of discipleship must be one where everyone is looking to themselves to see if they're living what they want others to live. And some of you came to this workshop because you're hoping to hear Ryan Kwan speak. I'd say all of you probably did. You were hoping that Ryan Kwan would finally give you the terminology and the strategy that you could plug into your church so that you could make disciples. You could learn the right technique. And if that's you, I am like you, because that's how I go to these things. I've devoured discipleship resources for years, and I've thought, if I could just get other people to understand this, then we would make disciples. If I could just get other people to see how elegant this is, if I could just get other people to explain the gospel, then we would make disciples. But for most of us, our biggest barrier to making disciples and creating a culture of discipleship, our biggest barrier is not that we haven't mixed the right ideas yet. It's not that we haven't learned the right things from Hirsch or Vanderstelt or Cole or Platt or Chan or whoever you like. The biggest barrier to our personal discipleship and to our churches is ourselves and our own hearts. Some of you want to tune me out right now because you think this doesn't apply to you. But listen, it is a very, very present danger that you will pursue Jesus' mission instead of Jesus. It's a very clear and present danger for you that you will become more enamored with planting a church, growing a church, pleasing Jesus than you will with Jesus himself. And if you're doing that, then you're not even doing what God wants you to do. He doesn't need you to do any of this stuff for him to love you and to want to use you. He doesn't need you to accomplish anything, and yet he still loves you. And many of us, myself included, we just can't believe that. And so we go about trying to make disciples, not understanding the very core foundation of what we must understand to make them. And so if you pursue discipleship before you pursue Christ, you're going to miss both. Please, please, let's pray for one another to pursue Christ before we pursue anything else or any structure. And so your heart, your mentality, your emotions, your background, your personality, your issues, they all shape you in ways you don't understand. And so pursue some self-awareness, pursue growth in the ways you need to grow so that you know that you're pursuing Christ. Ask some trusted friends what they see in you that needs to grow. Invite feedback that hurts. Ask yourself the same questions you want other people to be asking themselves. And see, the gospel, it cuts us. We are all more sinful than we want to believe. We don't get it in the ways that we think. It hurts. It's a punch in the gut sometimes. If we get it, it's a punch in the gut every time. We're not as great as we think we are. We'll never be as great as we aim to be. But yet still Christ loves us, and still he wants to use us. We're as lost as, you know, oh, my church is so great, we have drug addicts there. Well, hey, guess what? You're as bad as a drug addict. They're not worse than you. I grew up and I never went like super crazy off the rails in a way that like I thought, I don't have a very dramatic testimony. Right? I was never like on the street. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. So my testimony is not that great. If you say that, it just shows you don't understand the gospel. You don't understand you're as filthy a sinner as anybody else, and you need Christ. So we've got to get that. We've got to see that. And so do what you can do to discover your hidden faults, your sins, the ways you deceive yourselves. Because you do it, and everyone in your church does it too. We all deceive ourselves. We all think that we don't need to grow in the ways we do. We all think that we have more of Christ than we do. And so if you want to create a culture of discipleship, your love has to be for Christ first. You could answer all these questions, but if your love isn't for Christ first, then you're going to answer them in a messed up way. And here's the thing. Your love is not going to be for Christ first all of your life, most of your life. It'll go up, it'll go down. So you must constantly be working on this. How do you create a culture of discipleship? Constantly be considering who's a disciple, how are disciples formed, how are disciples measured, and am I a disciple? You got to constantly ask these questions. You can't just develop a strategy and say the strategy makes disciples, because the strategy won't make disciples, the curriculum won't make disciples. Disciples make disciples. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our hearts and the hearts of the people that are with us, right? So that's what I wanted to share with you all today. I was going to say, can I pray for us? But that is like a dumb question because no one ever says no. So let me pray, please. I thank you, Christ, that though we are a collection of sinners, of idolaters, of imperfect people, in this room there's unfathomable darkness, that you still treasure us as your children, that you sent Christ to die for us, to atone for our sins, and you welcome us into your family. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to see the extent of your love for us. Help us to see ourselves as needy beggars before your grace, and also help us to see, Lord, the great eagerness with which you give us grace. God, would you change our hearts? And then as we try to make disciples, as we seek to grow cultures of discipleship in our church, and make disciples, would you empower us, God? Would you keep our eyes on the right things? Would you help us to be strategic and intentional, and yet to never leave you behind in the process? Would you shape our strategies in our churches by the power of your Spirit and your gospel, and use us to do it, God? Thank you for letting us participate in your work. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for this gorgeous day. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So, thanks. On the last slide, I just have our website and email address. If there's anything that you know, we want you guys to win at Resonate. We want to help you. So if there's anything we can do to help you, any questions you have, I don't know, I've given you my best, so you feel free to email me something. But if you just have a question or you want to learn more, a little bit about how we do something, feel free to email us or contact us. We'd be happy to help you. So anyway, thank you all. Have a fantastic day.